I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
2 weeks later, on December 1st, 1947, the city council met again, this time with a resolution on the table that would require Atlanta's police department to hire 8 black officers. More than 1,000 whites crowded the chamber to oppose the measure. But despite their vehement protestations, the campaign led by Scott and King finally succeeded. The council voted 10-7 in favor of the resolution. The Daily World hailed its passage with the headline, "The long-awaited dream comes true." And yet the new black officers would be far from equal. The resolution stipulated that they were to be hired on a trial basis, that they would work out of a separate precinct, the basement of the local YMCA, that they would patrol only in black neighborhoods, and that they would not be permitted to exercise police powers over whites. If a black officer witnessed a white person committing a crime, he would detain the offender, but for an arrest, he would have to call his supervisor and request that a white officer come to the scene. These restrictions were not atypical. All over the country, black officers were routinely, systemically, humiliated. And in order to remind them of their second-class status and to reassure whites that their racial order remained fundamentally intact. In Savannah, for example, black officers were not allowed to wear their uniforms to or from work. In Montgomery, Alabama, they had to go around the back to the back door of the police station to pick up and turn in their equipment each day. Segregation was most thorough in Miami, which until 1962 operated two completely distinct criminal justice systems, one for whites and one for blacks. The latter system had black officers, a black-only police station, and a black judge and a bailiff. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Tuesday, ready to do some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews, please. If you're hearing this, it's a sign of our voice. Okay, we would love to hear, get more 5-star reviews every Saturday.
Yes,
and we will read it on the air on the feedback show, which, you know, I think is one of those shows that everybody should listen to. Okay, you want to hear what you guys had to say? Maybe someone brings up a point you hadn't thought about. Maybe somebody makes a joke that we didn't make. Well, you can hear it on our Saturday feedback show. The excerpt that I started the show with is from Locking Up Our Own, Crime and Punishment in Black America. It's by James Foreman Jr. So yeah, I just think it's interesting because I love that chapter. It talks about black police officers and how over time things have changed, and it's so funny to think about how we think about black police officers today versus what black police officers were supposed to represent when they first started.
Right.
Because when you think of a black police officer now, what do you think of?
What do you mean?
You personally, like, when you think about the black police officers.
Oh, when I think about black police officers, I just look at police officers as like a unit, a whole unit. You are a police officer. Like, I don't really look at it as black officer, white officer. You're an officer. Like, in my mind, you're a police officer, and I will quote unquote respect you just like I would any other officer.
Yeah, when I see a black police officer, I know they're gonna be tougher on me. At least that's the way it's been my whole life. Like, I don't expect them to, like, I know I ain't getting off with a warning if a black police officer pulling me over. Definitely getting that ticket, you know, if not worse. You know, definitely can't, you know, you gotta be real careful how you talk to them and all that shit, because it always feels to me like they trying to prove something to their peers, maybe, you know. And I think when you think about the roots of that equation and why they may feel that way, partially it is because of how it started. So black police officers were originally, there were no black police officers,
right?
There were white people that policed everybody, and they policed black people, and they did so, as one would, unfairly, as you would guess. So when post-slavery and post, you know, reconstruction, black people, that was a big hurdle for us. It was like, we need more people in civil government, we need more people in positions of power, you know, because as much as people talk about they don't like the police and all this shit, You know, a big part of that was also like, well, maybe the solution is to have black people who understand and know what black people do. They can tell the difference between the knucklehead black person and the criminal black person.
Yeah, because black people don't distinguish the difference. And y'all all the same, quote unquote.
Right. And the upstanding working black person. And, you know, so it kind of became, you know, an issue of it in itself. And so when you had these black people essentially being like, okay, so how do we fix this problem with racist policing and over policing and at the time under policing,
correct,
which is a thing we don't really talk about much anymore, but it still exists. Under policing, mm-hmm. is like, if I'm getting robbed and I call the police and they don't show up for an hour, that's under policing.
Yes, and it happens all across the country.
Yeah, but you know, that's one of the things that black people used to talk about. Flavor Flav and Public Enemy, rest in peace, they made a song a long time ago, 911 is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you listen, this is one of the most radical groups of all time. This is not a group that worships police officers or any of that. But the entire song was, what's the point of calling 911 if they ain't gonna come anyway? Like, you know, and when they do come, they get the shit wrong. You know, that's that was the whole purpose of that song.
Yeah, you calling for help, now you under arrest. Bitch, I called you!
Right, it's basically police are a joke is what it's saying. And so, anyway, at one point it went from, we need inclusion into this stuff. Because black police officers will come in, and they'll be more black than police. They'll be more, like you just said, you see black police officers as police first. And treat them the same way you treat any other police, right?
Mm, yeah, because I'm scared of miles, so in my mind, I don't see the difference.
Right. And I think with this, that like, the idea was always that we would see a black person, they would see a friendly face, and they would actually do what the motto says, to protect and serve the black community. Because things were so segregated back then, it was like, well, we're your community. It's not like you have a choice. You don't really have power over white people. They'll never respect you. Your own officers won't respect you. There's nothing you can do. And instead, what happened was, one, the officers who got hired, they weren't in on this. Like, these were just black men looking for a job. It was not.
They wanted to work.
Yeah, they weren't activists going into the, you know, these weren't community leaders that became police officers. Mm-mm. This was just people who were like, I'm, you know, maybe I'm out of the military and I can't find work. I need a job. The other thing is to earn the respect of their peers, which, you know, they were on an eternal cycle of never being able to. They needed to be tougher. They needed to be, if you're going to be walking the black streets with the way that America criminalizes blackness and black existence and all this shit, you can't just be like out there, well, no crime happened today. Like, they're like, no. That's the whole thing. The black people said there's crime in the community. They don't like the way we handle it. So you get down there and handle it. But I want you to handle it the way we do. I don't want you to handle it in a black way or a kind way or work it out and get to know the neighborhood. No. You go in there and you crack heads, but you're black. That's it. And if you want to be part of what we do, that's what you're going to do. You know, so when people talk about like abolishing the police, that's the latest iteration of this long ass 100-year struggle that we're going through with policing and black communities, and even longer if you start counting, you know, slave patrols and citizen patrols and stuff up north, union busters up north and shit like that. If you start counting that kind of stuff, I mean, you're talking about even longer than hundreds of years. You know, it's hundreds of years at that point. So yeah, it's interesting to see, with the long view of history, like how their best efforts essentially were, you know, changed because white people and racism is that strong.
Yes it is. It's the foundation and it's the root of our country, and until America, which means white people, address that, this will continue to be an issue.
Yeah, and when you think about the idea of black police officers buying into and becoming the system, you know, in this situation and putting us all in, you know, this like mortal danger or whatever at all times. And I feel no safer. If nothing else, I feel more in danger when I see a black police officer. You know, it is kind of like, what's the point? You can understand how people get to that point, you know, how people feel like, well, if you do this much damage, why do we need you at all? You know, and the other part of it too is, if they would have done it correctly, quote unquote, I wonder what would have happened, you know, if black officers would have been allowed to just be police officers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they would have, if the whole point would have been like, yes, you can arrest white people, all that stuff. Because at the same time that they were like, here niggers, here's some black police officers, they were like, but these are niggers too. Don't, like, they're just niggers with badges.
Right. No, don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, they don't have any rights that we have to respect any more than you do.
Correct.
You know? One of the greatest episodes of TV last year was that Watchmen episode where they talked about him, her grandfather being a police officer. It was amazing TV because it is ripped from the pages of this book. Like, it's that those stories are what happened. You know, you arrest a white man, you're the one that gets beat up later. You know, because they're like, you stepped out of line. You know, white man can tell you straight to your face, you can't take me this downtown, nigga. Fuck you.
Yep, and but people forget, realize, just like you got HBCUs, there's a reason why you have the black police officers,
fraternal order of police.
Yeah, it's the reason why you got the black version. Like, that didn't pop up out the blue out of nowhere. It's the reason why they was like, no, we gonna specifically be like, no, we are black.
And every time we read about a black officer enduring harassment, a police officer who spoke up about the brutal tactics of a police force, they're immediately labeled a snitch and drummed out, like, and harassed and threatened. You know, it's so funny that white people can't believe the police are corrupt and fallible.
It's amazing. All the movies, all the TV shows, everything is like corruption, but everybody in their everyday real life, they get these fucking stories from somewhere. They don't make a lot of this shit up. Yeah, some they do, but a lot of them are based off of real shit that has happened.
Yeah, you look at like Serpico, and you know, I was watching a TV show, and this happens in so many TV shows, but I was watching Daredevil on the Marvel, you know, Netflix show.
Mm-hmm.
And half of the fucking show is not about him fighting criminals, it's about him fighting police, corrupt police. And yet when black people say, hey, these police are corrupt, this person who got killed, I don't believe the police, hey, this video footage that I'm looking at, I don't trust that this was on the up and up until I see it with my own eyes. And they really think we're the ones who are crazy. But the whole of a lot of pop culture is about the fact that police are very corrupt, you know, and the fact that they're not trustworthy, and that even if you integrate black people into it, if the black people on the up and up, they get drummed out, and if they're not, then they just become another person that's down with the con of protect and serve. So yeah, that's what it made me think about. Butterfly in the sky,
I can go twice as high.
Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. A reading rainbow. I was a little early on that one. Sorry.
I didn't mean to start laughing.
I just wanted to get it started. Okay. I guess before we get started, we did get a question in the chat. Let's see. This is from Living Corporate. Can we have a conversation about Biden's inability to form simple sentences? Beyond the jokes that SNL has made for months, should someone seriously encourage him to sit down? On Super Tuesday, on the eve of the primary shit coming in, you know that's not gonna happen. Come on, man. Like, let's keep it real. Like, that's crazy. I know people want Bernie to win and shit. I like Elizabeth Warren, but I mean, if Biden is the one that's in the lead, I already said what I was gonna do. Like, all of them, really.
It don't matter who.
Any of these motherfuckers. And I guess people are panicking now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Biden about to take this thing, and that's probably on the internet people's least favorite of the people other than Bloomberg.
Yep, on the internet.
On the internet, yeah. And so it's funny to me that we went through all this shit and now people's worst nightmare is coming true, is that it might be Biden. And on the other end of that, because a lot of those same people have been, you know, turned off by arguing online with these Bernie Sanders people. Mm-hmm. They don't want him to win. Mm-mm. And then, you know, Warren is somewhere, you know, in probably a, I guess with everyone dropping out, like a distant third place.
Yep.
Eating up Bernie's vote. So mm-hmm. She's not going to win. And if they could, you know, maybe they could get, like, if there was, you know, you go out, you vote your conscience, you know, today, I think, you know, you vote for this, I think primaries is for voting for the people you believe in. And, we'll see what the results say. It's not your, you don't need to go in there and vote to determine, like, well, I guess everybody said Biden. Like, if you want Warren, then vote Warren. If you want Bernie, then vote Bernie. If you want Biden, then vote Biden. That's your right, you know, but, I guess my feeling is more like, y'all knew what this was. Like, it was not a game the whole time. Like, this motherfucker Biden been talking like this the whole fucking time.
The whole goddamn
for years. His right. gas was cute to people.
Right. When he was underneath Obama, it was cute.
So I don't like this little like last minute panic everybody doing. Nigga, miss me with this. I have been on some like, well, clearly the only person that I find viable at this point is Warren. And I've been feeling that way since like Harris dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, so pretty much Elizabeth Warren is the most competent person on the stage. It doesn't matter if, you know, but I guess I kind of was prepared for this because I remember in 2016 when it was Hillary Clinton and motherfuckers kept telling me how it wasn't misogyny, but somehow she just wasn't the one.
Wasn't the one. And then when you actually get down to the nitty gritty and ask why, you know, at the end of the day, they get to the point where it's nothing else. And you're like, oh, okay, it's misogyny. That's what it is, right? Okay.
It's not even close to me. You know, to me, it's not close because she's everything Bernie Sanders says, except she has the numbers and facts to back her up on how she's going to get it done. And then on top of that, she can integrate marginalized talking points into what she's saying. So she can be like, well, not just what, like, say the question is on women not earning enough in the workplace. She won't just answer that and be like, well, yeah, women don't earn enough in the workplace. She'll be like, and specifically, Black and Latinx women actually make even less than white women. So this figure that you said is this, like, she can snap that shit off the top of her head.
Because
so
she
easy.
Has to, because women have to be fucking overqualified for every fucking goddamn thing they do.
Right. It's like, I'm not sitting at the debate, like, you know, pulling my hair out waiting on somebody to ask them about a question that affects Black people, because I know when she gets to that answer, she's going to incorporate how things affect other than just white people into her answers. And I'm not just saying this as a Black person, she does it with gender issues. She, you know, she's one of the few people that when she's called out on some shit, she will try to incorporate that into making herself better, you know, which is to me in 2016 that was a big thing I liked about Hillary Clinton. Back when nobody was supposed to like her, I was like, I like that when she gets called out, it's not just like, well, fuck you then, I said what I said. She's like, no, okay, cool, let me add this talking point, like, let me, you know. And then the point, and then because she's a woman, it becomes she's disingenuous, you can't believe her, she's lying, because, you know, all women lie and shit and nobody can ever trust them. And so it's interesting to see that stuff happen with Warren. Now she's quote unquote pandering, you know. And I don't know what people want, really, because
they don't know what
their claim will be like, well, Bernie Sanders, he's been saying the same thing for 40 years. And I'm like, but think about what you just said. You've been saying the same shit for 40 years despite things changing. That's actually not good. Like, you can get better. Everyone can get better at something. You can be more right. You know, I've broken down on this podcast before how the thing I really would have won me over in 2016 for Sanders would have been when he talks about the Wall Street greed and the housing crisis, if he would just add in that extra element of, and it directly affected Black people. So the Black people who got blamed for buying too much home were predatory. They were targeted. Yeah, they were targeted. You know, they were preyed upon. And if he could just do something that simple, because it's right in his wheelhouse, hey dog, I'm with you, let's roll. Now he, you know, all that being said, man, fuck these internet niggas. He's still, to me, a much more viable candidate than Biden.
Yeah.
Like, I don't take no fucking, I'm not pumping my fist that if he loses tonight. I kind of hope he don't. if we're being real about it, if my choices are fucking Biden or Sanders and those are the only two I get, I'd rather have Sanders than Biden. Cause like Biden really does seem like he's not all the way with it, man. I think everyone's noticed it. You know what I mean? I don't know how, but I mean, these are the choices we're left with, is a dude that people are not sure if he has his full mental capacities, and another motherfucker that just had a heart attack because we refuse to see this fucking woman in the race. It's goddamn insane that anyone is like, this is not a sane country and where we don't see that Elizabeth Warren is the obvious fucking answer. And she sits far enough to the left where if people would just get off of the Bernie Sanders, like, you know, cult leader worship type thing, they would be like, well, hold up. If we can convince Democrats to fuck with her, which they already seem to do to some extent, and we just take our Bernie Sanders ass over there, she will win with the platform that he has, except maybe 1 degree less. And they were like, nah, fuck it, we'd rather just have Biden, and then after that we'd rather have Trump if we can't have Bernie,
right? That's how it's gonna tick.
It's crazy, man. It's honestly crazy. The amount of work and detail she has to put into her plans just for people to ignore them is frustrating.
To motherfucking ignore them.
You know, I've tried not to like get on my soapbox about this shit this year, cause at the end of the day, and I'm in it, and I'm not backing off of it. I don't give a fuck who it is. All of these niggas are better than Trump. Period. All of them.
Yes.
And so I'd vote for any of them, but. Yeah, Biden's not a dude that I think is a great choice, and neither, and like I said, to me, this is just what people brought on themselves.
Yes, they did, because when you had all these candidates, and it was all this diversity out here, we talked about it before, people complain, not supported, complain. And people started dropping out. And most of the time, women and minorities are going to drop out first, because a lot of times they don't have the money or the funds or the backing to actually last as long. And then people complain about how there's no diversity because they all dropped out.
Yeah. And I noticed that people have come a long way on this to some extent. I saw, I think I still had a tweet. Yeah, Yvette Nicole Brown. was a video from The Root where she was talking about Super Tuesday, and she said, it's a thread. Yvette Nicole Brown, one of our faves, said, reminded us that our ancestors died fighting for us to have the right to vote. You're disrespecting their legacies when you don't exercise your civic duty. Nobody said nothing bad about her. That tweet's been up since 3:15, so it's been up for a couple hours. And isn't that interesting, right? Because 4 years ago, when Oprah Winfrey said the exact same fucking thing, there was a big ass group of black women that claimed to be liberal talking about, you not gonna guilt us, black people vote the most, blah, blah, blah. It's funny how the shit got serious as I said it would get. And now motherfuckers, that energy is gone.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
The energy is gone.
It's not the same. Like I said, I've calmed down a whole lot over the past few years. But yeah, I was fucking livid at a lot of people. A lot of people I was mad at. I was mad at white people. I was mad at black folks. I was just mad at everybody because, you know, a lot of people in their ways, shapes, or forms let us down. They let a lot of people down. You know, you claim you want these things, but when it's time for the rubber meet the road, you rather not vote. You rather say ignorant shit. You know, you rather just la 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 la. And the thing that frustrated me the most is a lot of people's like that. A lot of times people have a privilege to say that, even black people, when they feel like it's not going to directly affect them. These people live in these liberal areas where a lot of times people are more liberal with how they vote in the laws. But when, guess what? It's niggas out here in Timbuktu to fuck nowhere. Black people out there too. And they are suffering because you did not give a fuck.
Yeah. To me, it's more about the fact that, you know, they said, like, it was the cool thing to be online talking that shit.
Right.
You know, people didn't like, and never examined why, but they essentially did not like Hillary Clinton. And so in 2016, you could just get away with saying some reckless shit like, fuck Oprah because the only reason she's saying this is she's a billionaire. What does she know? Like, she ain't black. Like she not a black woman no more.
Like, she didn't play Sophia.
You know, like, well, that's just a movie part. But, like, she's not a black woman anymore because we're mad online. And because that justifies everything. We get to call her out her name, dismiss her whole point, to act like she's just, you know, nobody. Like, she just came from billions. She was born as a billionaire and just started fucking walking around the Korean shit. And it's just weird that shit got that out of control. But like I said, I'm not calling names. I'm not really going out harassing these people. It's just funny to watch how Yvette Nicole Brown says the same thing 4 years later. But now people get it because Trump is in office and it's serious. There's already a 5-4 majority in the Supreme Court. It could get worse. Ruth Bader Ginsburg could fucking pass out tomorrow and we're fucked. You know, like, so it's people now, you know, I saw Martin Lamont Hill come out and say, like, you know, and I feel like Bernie Sanders is the man, da 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 da, we need to vote for, blah, blah, blah. And because we can't go through any more Trump. I'm like, oh, now is the time for, okay, cool, we get it now.
Yeah, a lot of them people been quiet for the past few years. They haven't said a motherfucking thing.
Because, you know, the underlying shit on this, I guess as we're talking about it. The underlying shit on this, and the reason that people even felt that way in 2016 is because the motherfucker they complain about the most was actually the best fucking president we've ever had, Barack Obama.
Right.
And like with most black people who are great at their jobs, people get fucking comfortable. And then you just expect shit to flow the way they set it up forever. Like the work didn't matter. Like they did no work. Like you just come to get you, that becomes the new normal for you.
Right.
Every black person says this at their job. President ain't no fucking different than any other job. You gotta be twice as good to get half as fucking much. That man was twice as good, 100 times better than Trump, but twice as good as George W. Bush, all these other motherfuckers, twice as good as Bill Clinton, no fucking, you know, dick sucking scandals and shit like that, like could not even have an ounce of corruption, had to always be the Jackie Robinson of presidents and smile and eat that shit, always had to do it, and always did it, not necessarily for his own ego, but my personal belief is for the image that he was presenting for black people forever. Like, mm-hmm. I can't be the president that says goddamn America. I don't get to be that guy.
Mm-mm.
Maybe the next black president or the 27th black president, but it definitely can't be my black ass, right? And so it's funny how we take that competence for granted. And so people in 2016 just felt very comfortable. Like, how fucked up could the country get anyway?
Yeah.
How bad could it be?
Yeah, when other people's like, y'all do know it could get worse. Y'all like, you know, when people was like throwing up warning signs and was like, hey y'all quit bullshit now, like
the thing with these internet niggas is they still say stuff like, oh, you mean the drone, you know, killer in chief and shit like that. Trump has already done more of that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't call him that because they don't even give a fuck about that shit.
A lot of them never did.
It was literally just, what can we do to knock this black man off this pedestal? And so that's the shit I keep coming back to, is like, everything from that moment is why the fuck we're getting this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if, cause like I said, I still think Bernie can win this shit. I think he was ahead. I don't, people early voted. I don't know that this is just, you know, he's definitely gonna lose. I don't know that. People keep acting like it's over now, and I'm like, I don't know that it's over. But let's say that Biden wins. Let's say that. Then you understand what that means, right? Obama was so good. The man who simply stood behind him is about to be the next Democratic candidate. Because Obama was that good and motherfuckers can't admit it. They want him back. If he ran right fucking now, he'd win.
Yes, he would get my vote a goddamn gin.
In a landslide. People keep skipping over the fact that when Hillary ran, she came in second in the most votes ever. Period. And who she second to? Obama. Who beat her in 2008-2012. So like people keep going, it's a turnout issue. It's not a turnout issue. Like, well, she didn't get the same turnout as Obama. Okay, cool, she didn't get the same turnout as Obama. Getting the third most is supposed to be enough. That's supposed to be enough. Like, we keep acting like it's a referendum on her and a referendum on the Democratic Party. Here's the other part. Now that I'm talking, fuck it. We actually, as Democrats, don't even need these Bernie people. Like, this whole thing that they're doing where it's like, we'll hold the party cap and that's why you're gonna lose. Nigga, you didn't make nobody lose the first time. What are you talking about? You're not that powerful. It's not enough for you. If it was that many people that love Bernie, he wouldn't be losing in these motherfucking, he would just win in a, it would be a fucking landslide all the way through the Democratic primaries because he has so many people that got his back. But that's not the truth. You know, the truth of the matter is there's a very loud minority of voters that are like, we want Bernie or nothing else, and we're that liberal and all this shit. But the motherfuckers either vote Green Party or they fucking vote Democrat, and that's it. And if they don't vote, then they weren't gonna vote for your ass anyway. If they weren't gonna vote for anyone with Bernie, they weren't the ones that lost the election for anyone. Like, that's not how it fucking goes. 77,000 votes in a country of 400 million people is what we keep coming down to. It's crazy, the hyperbole of art. Like, you watch people argue in circles over and over and over again, and they lose sight of the fucking obvious numbers and facts. I heard a podcast today that was upset about Joe Biden winning South Carolina, and so it was like, you know, and it's a black dude, so I guess he was trying to kind of like mitigate the Bernie shit. So he was trying to be like, don't be racist towards black people, don't call them low information voters. And I said, okay, I appreciate that, you know, that, because it is racist when those Bernie people do that shit after they lose, and right, they did it in 2016, and who wants to hear that shit now? It's fucked up, right?
Yes, it is.
But then he went on to say, it's not that, it's class. It's black people that have money, these bourgeoisie black people, is against the working class black people. And the numbers don't add up. It doesn't make sense, because the average black person doesn't have any fucking money.
No,
so
we don't.
If you look at the median income and all this shit, we've read over study after study over here. The vast majority of us don't have shit.
Have shit and don't own shit.
So if you're talking about some elite upper class to upper middle class blackness, you ain't talking about a handful of black people.
A handful.
Most black people one check away from the floor.
Come on, one sickness or illness.
So the question then becomes, how do you account for those numbers? Because Joe Biden won the black vote in a landslide and split the young black vote. Split it. So it's not like Bernie ran away with the fucking young black vote either. So it's not, the analysis lacks something. And I think when you disrespect and don't respect black people, and you, oh, wherever, someone's lying to them, because I think he changed it from low information voters to like heavy misinformation voters, which to me is same level of racism. But the point really is this: they don't know this nigga. But everybody gets that when it comes to anyone else, any other race. Hey, we don't know you. We do know this guy. That's really the fucking be all end all of the shit.
Come on.
Like, it ain't even
that. You have to build inroads. Like, I was excited. Like, y'all know, people just can't be show up and be like, here I am, vote for me. But people gonna be like, who are you? You know, where did you come from? What have you done? Like, these are legitimate questions.
If Joe Biden wins based off of the black vote, then to me, it's gonna be funny how fucking arrogant the other politicians are, that they don't start spending every moment in the black community. And we do this every year. You know, one of the reasons I didn't really like Pete Buttigieg was because of his misunderstanding of, not even misunderstanding, I don't know that he misunderstood, he probably knew the whole time and was like, after South Carolina I'm gonna drop out. Maybe he knew the whole time. But the thing I didn't like about him is that you can't run for presidents if you have made no inroads to black, especially southern black people. Can't,
not on a Democratic ticket.
Mm-hmm. You can't. And so to see, like, you know, the slap in the face that his campaign was to the black electorate, it's hard for me to tolerate that. Like, I'm like, okay, I know he got to do his thing, he wants to get his name out there, maybe this is for another run later, but dog, you don't fuck with us and we don't fuck with you. And until you get over that hurdle, what you gonna do? You know, and it, and like I said, Biden has just the fact that he's always had Obama's back 100%. Just on that alone, black people like, oh yeah, that's our dude. What about the crime bill? Yeah, dog. Crime bill was 1994. Bernie Sanders voted for the shit. We also, have seen him since 1994. We ain't seen Bernie since he fucking marched with King. So, we're talking about a recency bias here of this motherfucker's been back in the community at least since 2007. At least. And then during, and then didn't take the last 4 years off from being in the community like some people did. Like, that's all it can, it's, so this is the reason I can't be mad at Biden winning, even if I don't like that dude's, policies.
Right.
I can't be mad because it's the power of the black vote that's getting that to happen. The referendum is out. This is the message to the other candidates. Court the black vote. Not with this pandering shit, not with these last minute policies, not with this, well, now that I'm running for president, here's some things I've been thinking about. No, motherfucker, you should be taught in the community now. Whoever the next person is should be in the community now. Don't do this shit later. You know who gonna fucking win the black vote if they run next time? Stacey Abrams.
The fuck she is. She will be my goddamn number one candidate.
She in the community. We don't even know her fucking, what her policies would be.
You know what she
is? She's just in the community getting people to vote.
She in the motherfucking community. She's like, I'm going to be sure y'all vote. I'm not here for the bullshit. I'm fighting on your behalf. And she's, the thing about that woman, she knows her job and she knows how to do it well. And she's very educated. And you can tell she's not here for the bullshit. And she's like, no, I am going to be about my business. You know, when people ask her, was she running? She was like, no, I got to do the shit to be sure when I run again, I will win, because she fucking got cheated.
And she's open to being a VP to any candidate, by the way, which is another savvy move. But I'm not even really just trying to stand for her. I'm just trying to make a point, which is, when that shit happens, you're gonna see the same fucking issue where people are like, well, I don't know about this black woman. I mean, why she got to be in it? Bernie Sanders been saying the same thing for 40, and it's gonna be people like, but we saw Stacey Abrams yesterday. We saw her in the off cycle years. We saw her helping us get people out to vote, organizing us, going state to state to save the black vote.
Right.
Like this is the kind of shit that I think is so short-sighted for people at the top that just essentially want a Green Party, the Democratic Party, which is come around once every 4 years, tell everybody this is what you need to do, and be, and then when they don't win, I'm gonna go pout in my house. Like, this is what the fuck happens. Now look, I want to reiterate, I'm not saying Bernie Sanders not gonna win. This Super Tuesday, man, he might come out on top. Like,
who knows?
You know, I think the Democrats got their shit together a little late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Some of them motherfuckers should have been dropped out.
Yeah, but, and like I said, policy wise, I mean, I'll fuck with that dude. It's not, is it as good as Warren's policies? No. But of the options that America's gonna give me, I'd rather have him than Biden.
Yeah.
You know, if I gotta pick, I mean, shit, don't nobody want, I see the debates too. But yeah, this is the power of the black vote, man. I can't believe people are, I can't believe people slept on this, man. You had 4 years to get it together. 4 years to hang out with somebody other than Killer Mike and Cornel West, man. It clearly wasn't good enough in 2016. I guess the whole plan was just, the other Democrats will split the vote enough for me to slide on through. And with these, but it's so obvious that these motherfuckers were gonna have to drop out. I don't know how Bernie Sanders campaign didn't see this coming.
Yeah, it's like they shocked by it.
They really can't see black people.
He was supposed to just glide in and win.
It's like they really can't see black people in the South. Mm-mm, specifically.
They don't.
But it's like they really don't see black people. This was your albatross. This is your Achilles heel last time. This was it. How you fucked this up? This a layup. Like, he better win tonight, dog. Like, I don't know what you do if you get behind after this, because then you want a woman you just call a liar.
Come on!
To drop out of the race and endorse you. That's the only way you can get it back. You know? And then they, who have been acting like bitches the whole time, turn into, nah, why are you acting like a bitch? Just because we harassed you and your fans and this, you just ain't gonna leave, drop out the race? What? Y'all the most sensitive motherfuckers in the race. Y'all the one that's been saying if you angry you can do anything and say anything to anybody and fuck how it makes people feel and fuck if that bridge is burned forever. Like, it's crazy what has become of this race. But you know, I like I said, any result that happens out of this Super Tuesday I can live with. I don't give a fuck if it's a broker convention or not. Don't care. Don't mm-hmm. care who eventually becomes a nominee either. Don't care.
Nope. I don't give a fuck if it's a brown paper bag. It got my goddamn vote.
Yeah. Let's just get to voting day. I don't give a fuck about any of this shit. The only thing I can agree with all these random motherfuckers in my party is I hate Trump.
Come on.
That's the only...
And people act like that shit can't unite people. The fuck it can't. Fuck him.
Yeah, I was listening to Larry Wilmore. You know, I love his podcast, but he always says this shit like, well, you gotta run on more than just fuck Trump. No, the fuck you don't. Mm-mm. Cause you know what Biden ran on? Fuck Trump. And this nigga a contender right now. Like, if it really was just like, no, fuck Trump's not enough, then Biden would be way further down than he, like, why the fuck is he not last? Cause he really just be up there like, I don't have no policies, dog. Get me in the ring with Trump. That's it. This nigga, like, what's your plan? To do push-ups on the stage with this motherfucker and call him a bitch to his face. What's up? And everybody's like, I don't know about that. And then black people are like, yes, fuck that nigga, because black people don't
yes,
like him.
Fuck him.
We don't like him. It's a big fucking part of it. Everybody, well, what about the economy? What about, nigga, start with fuck Trump, and then people will work their way down to the economy.
Yes.
Nobody like him.
No, they don't.
That's it. Yeah, somebody and brought up Tulsi Gabbard. That's the only motherfucker that black people really can't fuck with is Tulsi Gabbard, because she don't be like fuck Trump. She be on right. Some like, well, I understand, but if she would be like fuck Trump, guess what? Black people would be like, well, you know, she got some interesting points. No, we don't like, you can't win without us, and we don't like that nigga.
Right. And that be the thing. It's like you said, they gloss over us and don't really ask us how we feel about shit. Like, oh, we know what the Negroes want. Do you really? Because people was talking about Bloomberg. You know what his shit was like? Fuck Trump. That was his whole motto. Every commercial is like, fuck him.
Like, you see these excerpts from the Biden shit where they're like, look, he stumbled over this word, he stumbled over that word. He don't be stumbling over that fuck Trump, and that's all these niggas want to hear, dog. It ain't even, it's not even complicated.
Mm-mm.
We don't even fuck with Bloomberg like that. We fucked with his ads. It was like, oh, he's talking
ads.
About Trump? Cool. Soon as he sat down in front, he went to that Selma thing in front of some black churchgoers. As soon as he started talking, everybody got up and turned their back on his ass. Why? Because we don't fuck with you. We read the paper. Like, get the fuck out of here. None of us are stupid. We're not low information. We're not misinformed. We don't like these niggas. That's it. Anyway. You know who could have spoken to Selma thing and y'all call her a cop? Kamala Harris could have spoken. Nobody would have turned their back.
Nope.
Because we're not stupid. We're not sheep. We're not just getting our information off of some fucking message board. Like, black people be thinking. We're pragmatic. The sad part is because of the burn bridge approach that Bernie has taken, he has lost out on so much black support needlessly. It's sad that it came to this because he has to argue his shit his way. He can't capitulate to black people, not an inch. And because of that, unfortunately, that shit cost him a lot of black voters that he should get. People that his policies can help.
Yeah.
But if you say that, it's like you hate the dude. And if you say that, it's like, if you make any critique of him, it's like motherfuckers just get mad at you. It's like, bruh, I'm trying to help you. Like, there's a reason that this dude ain't doing good, like, with black people anyway. Like, don't you want to do better? I know I would. If I was rooting for him, I would want him to do better. But you know why people picking Biden? Because they think, black people anyway, essentially, black people think, regardless of all the fucking things people keep bringing up, they think he can beat Trump. That's it. He right. said he got one goal to beat Trump. The nigga already said he don't even want to serve, he want to serve one term and hand it back over. He just want to get the country back on track. That's his words. He just want to beat Trump, dog. He don't give a fuck about. Trump even said in a speech the other day, he was like, well, if Biden gets it, he just gonna let liberals run the country, and just, he not even gonna govern because he's not even in capacity to govern. And I was like, Trump might be right. Who knows? I don't think Biden really, like, Biden's whole thing is fuck you. That's it. So yeah, man, it's been a weird couple of weeks, man. And it's gonna get worse after the results of this shit hit, no matter what happened.
No matter what.
If Biden is ahead, it's gonna get all the fucking, like, oh God, not this nigga. From everybody, you know, all the people that love Warren are gonna be mad. All the people that love Sanders is gonna be mad. If Sanders wins, you're gonna get the opposite. Everybody going, oh, what's happening to our party? It's being taken over and all this shit. Man, just fucking vote in November,
just
dog.
Vote.
That's it. Who policy is gonna be worse than Trump? None of them. But yeah, so I don't know, man. I just been thinking about this shit, seeing all this news all day. Donna Brazile, who, I don't know what happened to Donna in 2016 when she was, trying to act like the DNC primaries against Bernie Sanders and all this shit. I don't know what she was thinking.
Mm-mm.
And then she got a job for Fox News and started fucking with them. It was like, really, Donna Brazile? Like, what the fuck happened? You know, like, why'd you just burn your whole career to the ground? Like, for what reason? You know, and then when people was like, so what proof you got? Cause she worked with the DNC at the time. Well, I don't have any proof. I mean, I just feel like, you know, it's not, I was like, oh God, like, do you just not like Hillary Clinton? And this is your way of saying it? Like, what is happening?
You could have said nothing.
But yeah, she went on Fox News today to discuss Super Tuesday, but then she ended up stunning all the viewers when she declared during the segment that the GOP could essentially go to hell. Yeah, I saw this clip, and she definitely took them white people for a loop. I don't know if this is just a long con of I'm really woke over here. I really have not decided to be.
Oh, one of them made a mad.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Like, I'm not Fox News's black Negro, but she was just like, so they had a state. They played a statement from Republican counterpart Ronna McDaniel, who's a chairwoman for, I think for the RNC maybe. And it was a response after, it was in response after she allegedly said that the DNC was had rigged this primary against Senator Bernie Sanders. Because guess who else wants Bernie Sanders to cause chaos in the Democratic Party? Yeah, the Republicans.
Of course. And
Russia.
Right.
So.
That's been reported on.
During America's Newsroom broadcast, Ed Henry and Sandra Smith asked Brazil, who is now Fox News contributor, to respond to the allegations of that McDaniel made earlier in the program about the Democratic convention. Now see, the thing with Fox News is everybody's supposed to be on script. They send a talking point out. It don't, if you getting a check from them, you just do what the fuck they tell you to do, say what you're supposed to say. But she stunned everybody. Let me see if I can do that. Oh, is this one of those ones where I'm trying to wait for them to see if they're gonna play the actual segment clip and not the, because you know how they had the words underneath it,
right?
It's like, and then
with the love
said,
of the music.
Yeah, I'm trying to it's moving kind of slow. I think I'm just gonna try to read it then.
Okay, go to YouTube.
Nah, fuck it. So yeah, okay, the fuck. It just started playing again. I'm trying to pause it in the background. All right, come on, guys. What's happening here? All right. So then McDaniel said it's leading towards potentially a broker convention, which will be rigged against Bernie if those super delegates have their way on the second vote. Oh, well, no wonder. It was playing the wrong video. Psh, shout out. Griot, what are you doing? Come on, man. I get my news from black people. And I expect, you know, y'all to do it right. Come on, Brigio. We don't need that extra video at the top. But yeah, It's leading towards a potentially broker committee, which will be rigged against Bernie if those superdelegates have their way on that second vote.
We had Ronna McDaniel on, Donna, earlier on the program, chairwoman of the RNC, and she was talking about the possibility of a brokered convention, the impact that would have on Bernie Sanders. Here's Ronna.
It does depend on how big the lead that Sanders takes out of California is, if he picks up a huge proportion of delegates. But I don't see anybody getting out soon, and it's leading towards potentially a broker convention, which will be rigged against Bernie if those superdelegates have their way on that second vote.
To that, you say what, Donna?
First of all, I want to talk to my Republicans. First of all, stay the hell out of our race. Stay the hell out of our race. I get sick and tired, Ed. And Sandra, of listening to Republicans tell me and the Democrats about our process. First of all, they don't have a process. They're canceling primaries. They have winner take all. They don't have the kind of democracy that we see on the Democratic side. And for people to use Russian talking points to sow division among Americans, that is stupid. So Ronna, go to hell. Go to hell. I'm tired of it, Ed. We're not trying to prevent anyone from becoming the nominee. If you have the delegates and win, you will. The notion that somehow nuts are out there trying to pull the roadblocks before one candidate, that's stupid. I know what's going on. They are scared of Democrats coming together to defeat Donald Trump. They need to be focusing on what we're focusing on, the Democratic Party, and that is preventing foreign interference in our elections. Stop using Russian talking points, Madam Chairwoman. Period.
Woo! You're whoa.
All right.
Whoa.
Next topic?
All right, then. I didn't know you were going to go off script like that. You're supposed to just say what we tell you to do. And of course, Ronna McDaniel said on Twitter afterwards, "It's okay, at Donna Brazil. I'd be having a bad day too if my party was still hopelessly divided. Talking of a brokered convention and the DNC trying to stop Bernie obviously hit a little close to home. Cause, you know, you're never wrong if you're on Fox, okay? They just keep that shit rolling. They don't need no facts. But yeah, that was funny as hell.
About facts.
I'm like, Donna trying to come home? Okay, I'll see you, Donna.
Next week is gonna change.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to be on Fox News and not say some wild shit at some point. Let's see, coronavirus update. The MTA in New York is to disinfect trains and buses every 3 days in a battle to stop the coronavirus. And I guess they don't do it as often now.
Yeah, they probably do it, but not as frequently.
Yeah, apparently they're gonna deep clean it every 3 days now, every 72 hours.
Yeah, probably because this is not some shit you probably should have been doing, but now you're probably forced to keep those things clean.
Yeah, but I always hear how dirty the subway is.
Me too.
Yeah, they said in addition to the daily cleaning, the MTA says its full fleet of subway trains and buses will undergo sanitization every 72 hours. So, I don't know. Do they really get cleaned every day if people say it's nasty?
They might get cleaned probably once every few months, if that often.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, New York, I think they have 2 confirmed cases right now. It's kind of weird reporting on, like, 1 and 2 cases, though. It's like, 1 case in North Carolina. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm not saying it's not going to get bigger than that, but it's like, what do we do about 1 case, you know?
Because it's like, it's the media going, oh, got one here. It's like every yeah. new case that pops up has to make news.
Then they turn the whole state red on that map, so you get scared.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This shit seemed pretty serious. Companies shutting down, events shutting down, companies closing the doors, mm-hmm. not allowing visitors.
Yeah.
Like, it's getting pretty serious. I don't think.
Yeah, they got signs going, no, our regular workers can be here, but you people, travelers, nope, no visitors.
It's nothing to play with. People getting tested for coronavirus are also being outrageously charged.
Yeah, that's what we do here in America.
Yeah, so you can get quarantined as required by the government. But after you're released from the hospital, they return home to bills. Bills that it seems like the government should be paying for.
Correct.
But when we've decided that sickness is a personal failing and not, you know, a public you know, a public concern that we all should chip in and, you know, maybe have single payer,
yeah, raise the taxes, you know, and shit. Yeah.
Maybe have Medicare for all, something like that,
something,
you know.
Like every other industrialized nation, we the only one that don't have that,
right? Like maybe if you would talk to you know, black people about that for 4 years instead of just coming around once every 4 years and trying to sell everybody on the same. However, as people are released from the hospital, they return to home price bills. This worries public health experts, as they fear people will stop getting tested.
Yes, because you can't fucking afford it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's about to get worse. Yeah, Sarah Cliff told the New York Times revealed that Pennsylvania resident Frank Wasinski returned home to almost $4,000 in bills. The average American doesn't have $400 for an emergency. $4,000. My question is, why are we being charged for these stays if they were mandatory? We had no choice in the matter, said Wasinski.
Right! You forced me to stay! You didn't give me a goddamn option! How are you gonna bill me then?
Which then, of course, leads to the next thing you can assume about the statement. If he knew he was gonna have to pay that much,
he would not have stayed,
right? Which is why the virus would have spread.
Correct.
So what the fuck are you thinking, charging these people? Not to mention you could lose your job behind this. Like, how many jobs are even gonna send you a check? Do you even have 14 days to get paid?
Most jobs, no. Or if you do, they're gonna be like, well, I guess you're gonna be eating your PTO time or not being paid for it.
My question is, why are we being charged for these stays? Last month, Wasinski and his three-year-old daughter were mandated to quarantine by the U.S. government when they returned from Wuhan, China, after possible exposure to the virus. According to Cliff Wasinski, he was charged $2,598 for the ambulance ride to the hospital alone, and an additional $90 for x-ray scans to be read by individuals that weren't official employees at the hospital. I assumed it was all being paid for, he said to the Times. We didn't have a choice. When the bill showed up, it was just a pit in my stomach. Like, how do I pay for this? When Wasinski asked the CDC if the government would be covering this, his and his daughter's medical expenses, the center failed to respond. However, according to the CDC, they aren't charging patients for testing, but there are other charges you might have to pay depending on your insurance plan or lack thereof. So you also got uninsured Americans. What do you think they doing?
Not getting tested.
A hospital stay in itself could be costly, and you would likely have to pay for tests or for other viruses or conditions. The most important rule of public health is to gain cooperation of the population, says Georgetown University global health law professor Lawrence Gostin. There are legal, moral, and public health reasons not to charge patients. Another case ended with Amsmel Martinez Askew being charged $3,270 in medical expenses after a work trip to China when he only had the flu. So he didn't even have it. He had the flu and he still got $3,000 in bills. He went to Jackson Memorial Hospital where he said he was placed in a closed off room. Nurses in protective white suits sprayed some kind of disinfectant smoke under the door before entering. Then hospital staff members told him he needed a CT scan to screen for coronavirus, but Askew said he asked for a flu test first. After testing positive for the flu, Askew was discharged. Askew's experience shows a potential test, so it could have been more expensive. It was $3,200 for the flu. If he actually would have had the shit, who knows? His experience shows a potential cost of testing for a disease that epidemiologists fear may develop into a public health crisis in the U.S.
Yes, 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 because every fucking thing is motherfucking for profit. They don't want to do a fucking thing to help, particularly when you have an administration that's all about motherfucking money and they push businesses. Like, this is the end result. And this is the result where you don't have a one payer or an alternative to just the regular healthcare system. You have the quote unquote Affordable Care Act, but it was fucking stripped of a lot of its powers and the shit that it covered.
Yep. So, yep, there's been 89 cases in the U.S. so far. 6 people have died. But it's gonna keep going up.
Yeah, because now you're gonna have people refusing to get tested. You're gonna have people just like, you won't test me. You're not gonna give me a fucking bill.
Our lack of paid sick leave will make the coronavirus worse.
Correct.
This is an article in the Washington Post. The United States is one of the few wealthy democracies in the world that does not mandate paid sick leave. As a result, roughly 25% of American workers have none, leaving many with little choice but to go into work while ill, transmitting infections to coworkers, customers, and anyone they might meet on the street or in a crowded subway car.
Mm-hmm.
As a nation, in other words, we are sicker than we need to be. That reality could make a widespread coronavirus outbreak here worse than it would be in a comparable country that takes sick leave seriously. But to find out how much worse, a fascinating 2017 study offers some clues. A paper by Stefan Pichler and Nicholas Robert Zybarth examines what happened in cities that implemented mandatory paid sick leave in the 2000s. San Francisco was the first to do this in 2007, followed by Washington, Seattle, and New York. A number of states like Connecticut and California also adopted policies. To find out how
so they have sick, like, you just your PTO and sick time ain't in one pot. They're like, no, these are sick days and these is PTO time.
Well, I guess you just have to have a mandatory amount. I don't know how they split it.
Right,
exactly.
Right. Like, you like, okay, like, you get so many a year. That, oh, that's understandable.
You have to allow people to have sick leave.
Yes, you do.
That's what the law says. To find out how these policies affect the influenza rates, the researchers culled data from the Google Flu Trends, a now shuttered project that tracked influenza related searches. They first demonstrated that those searches closely tracked official flu rate numbers in the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Then they used the search data to compare influenza rates in cities with or without mandatory paid leave, both before and after policies were implemented. Their main findings are shown in the chart below. But essentially, let's walk through this, as there's a lot going on. The thick vertical line, black line, represents the point at which sick leaves, this is them explaining the graph. So here it is. The absence of paid sick days, creates a near guarantee that workers will defy public health warnings and trudge into their workplaces regardless of symptoms.
Right, right, right. Y'all know people coming in all the time, coughing and some people even be sick, go to the bathroom, throw up, and come back to work because they was like, I refuse to use my time, or I don't have any time.
In this way, a manageable health crisis can spiral out of control. The service industry, comprising the people who prepare our meals and care for our children, has one of the nation's lowest rates of paid sick leave in the private sector at 58%. The CDC reports, for instance, that 1 in 5 food service workers have reported working at least once in the previous year while sick with vomiting or diarrhea. Mm-hmm. America, the greatest.
Running fevers and all types of shit.
The greatest country, y'all, America.
But they're preparing your food, though.
Shout out to capitalism. Take as much as you can from the workers. And
But y'all don't want to pay them no more. Y'all don't want to get rid of tipping and have a minimum wage.
I bet the CEO got sick leave.
I bet you do vacation time, too.
Employers, are as well as policymakers who oppose paid leave policies, tend to focus on short-term profitability. If you pay a worker to stay home sick, it's easy to calculate exactly how much that costs your company. But they overlook the much larger and harder to calculate cost of not having a paid sick leave policy. More workers out sick because of those who are spreading the virus in the workplace, as well as disease economic demand stemming from greater rates of illness among potential customers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's happened before where, even at my, old job, like I said, I kept, you know, my desk clean and shit like that, disinfected and shit like that. But yeah, like, one person gets sick and that shit spreads like wildfire, and then for you know it, you know, half of the department is out for the flu. That has happened before where you be like, well, goddamn, what happened to everybody?
Yeah, and whether your desk is clean or not, and you know, somebody sneezing, it's airborne.
Right.
Your desk can't clean that.
And everybody ain't clean.
Even if they are clean, people still get sick.
Yeah, they do.
Like, that's, you know, that's, matter of fact, let me get to this, because this has been bothering me for the last couple, like, week or so. That's one of the major problems with this whole, like, wash your hands shit. Because people then are turning into, once again, the who's the cleanest type thing. And, you know, white people nasty, black people the cleanest people in the world. That shit all over again.
Right.
That's not what my point is. My point is, it just, people are going to get sick, period. People get sick.
Yeah, they do.
And as long as we make it a moral failing of people that get sick, it's going to continue to have this. This is one of the reasons I think that you have it where companies are like, we don't need to give you sick time. If you just take care of the shit you told, you'll never get sick. That's not how it works.
Mm-mm.
Sickness is just a part of life. Disease is a part of life. You know, it's just part of living. Okay, so I think people have to like come off of that just a little bit, because it kind of makes it sound like, oh, you got sick, what did you do wrong?
Right, versus how diseases and shit works.
You know, not to mention you might not have the fucking like time or the wherewithal to fucking take off of work when you are sick. You know, and because we make it a moral failing, that's another reason people come into work. Well, I don't want nobody to think that I'm, you know, some nasty motherfucker. I don't know, I'm fine. Well, you've been seen like you're sneezing all day. No, I'm good. It's not just allergies or something. Like, nigga, you're giving everybody the thing. You know, cause we make it seem like something's wrong with you for that. You know, not to mention you have autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. You, like, there's just so much shit in the world that we are not calculating for, cause our own privilege, when you have a functioning, able body or whatever you want to call it. There's so much privilege to just be on some like, these motherfuckers out here, you know, and I'm not saying there's nothing that's disgusting. I mean, I'm sure if somebody fucking blows snot all over their hand or, you know, use the bathroom and fucking like, I don't know, sucks on a lollipop or some shit. I'm sure there's things, but there's also this idea that people only get sick because they just aren't clean enough, and that's just not true.
Agreed. And also we don't have kids, but a lot of people with children have a tendency to be more sicker, because a lot of times children actually, they just do shit. They don't care about germs. They get sick, you're talking to them, they sneeze in your face, sneeze in your eyeball, next thing you know, you going down too.
Yeah, it just feels weird that people are so fucking like caught up on that part of it. It's like, I get it, y'all have ran that joke into the fucking ground. Like, this shit is serious. I kept thinking, because I watch like Deezus and Mero and The Daily Show and stuff, and you know how sometimes you watch like a movie that's set in a post-apocalyptic future where a disease is spread and killed off all the humans, and it's now survival of the fittest, right? It's a trope that we've all seen, what maybe it's The Walking Dead or something like that. So I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know, whenever they do those type of movies, they always have exposition, right? So exposition is when you show people like what happened in this world, you know, like they'll tell you through like a lot of times they'll tell you by like having like graphics on the screen that are like, it's the year 2052 and da da da, right? But we don't really do that much anymore. Now what we do is we show like newspapers and stuff like that, but it's 2020 now, nobody reads the paper. So one day it's gonna, like, people are gonna keep making these apocalyptic films or whatever, and one day they're gonna be using TV and they'll show like news reports, right? You see that in them sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, the disease is spreading, that's no, and I'm from, you know, Al Jazeera, blah blah blah, right? The news report that's always conveniently targeted and specific to the plot.
Yes.
You know, they just cut to the TV when they walk into a bar and the TV volume is up, and it's always like, you know, mutants are dying by the X gene such and such, and then they cut to Logan.
And then they slowly fade out.
They cut to Logan in the corner, and then all of a sudden the TV not loud no more for some reason. But yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's a trope in all the TV shows and movies. But I was thinking, like, if that was real, why come they don't ever have, like, The Daily Show or Deezus and Mero making jokes about the shit, and then we can see the irony of, they really thought this shit was gonna be okay. They thought this shit was a joke, but it wasn't a joke. It killed everybody. Like, what if we are laughing at the thing that's gonna kill us, and we're just all like, ah, ha, 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 coronavirus. It sounds like a beer. And then, like, fast forward to 2060, and it's like, everybody dead because the shit was real.
Only thing living is the cockroaches.
It killed everybody. These motherfuckers didn't know what the fuck they was talking about. Everybody died horrible, just shit ridden, pus ridden death, because everybody thought it was a fucking joke. It was too hilarious to
and
wash their hands.
The ones that survived are now the mutants.
Right. So anyway, Rhapsody demands female rappers. Rhapsody, the rapper, mm-hmm, defends female rappers against fans, says Cardi B makes conscious music. So I guess she, Rhapsody stopped by to discuss her career in hip hop. Oh, is this like a, what is this, like a Ball Alert exclusive or something? In Uproxx review of Rhapsody's latest album, Eve, that's the name of the album, many of her fans categorize her as respectable in comparison with some of the female rapper community. In response, Rhapsody denied her fans' critiques and instead supported female MCs. A lot of times people will use me as the, you should like Rhapsody because she don't dress half naked, or you should like Rhapsody because she shows how a woman is supposed to be shown. And it's like, bro, you don't even have to do all that. If you like me, then like me. But don't come at these other women because they choose to do art the way they do their art.
I agree.
We spend too much time talking about what we don't like instead of investing energy in what we do. If you want to change it, speak in other ways, with your dollars, with your support, with your tour tickets. If you're a DJ, play the record on the radio. It's not about me tearing the next woman down. She mentioned Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion as example. They tell the stories that they tell because they live that life, and they should have that, have the space to be honest about it. She ended her comment by saying Cardi B makes conscious music because that's conscious to what she was doing. I love me a diplomatic answer like that.
I like that answer, yeah.
Because the thing for me, I've said for years, is like, it doesn't have to necessarily be that women rappers are pitted against each other, or that they hate each other.
Asking them questions, but all the time.
You keep egging until you can find something. Till they answer the question just a little bit wrong, or just leave a little bit of room for interpretation. And we always imply like, these bitches hate each other. You know, and I love how Rhapsody came in there and squashed all that shit. Like, nope, I fuck with them too. Leave us alone.
Yeah, we do it differently, but their truth is their truth, and my truth is my truth. I don't have a problem with them.
Anytime you the quote unquote only one that they allowing into a space, they always try to do that. Well, what about the other blacks? What about the other? I fuck with them too. I'm a fan. Now leave me alone.
Yep.
Like, it's just, I love that answer. That was so like mature of her. To recognize the setup that they was trying to throw her in.
Oh yeah, that was definitely a setup question.
Cause so many people fall for that shit. Next thing you know, Megan Thee Stallion said, fuck Rhapsody. Well, what happened? Cause she heard third hand, so shit that in the interview third, like, it's just, it's terrible. Megan Thee Stallion is suing her label. And she got the green light to release new music, because a judge issued a restraining order between her and the label. Cause they was basically trying to be like, you can't release no new music. She said she got new music coming Friday, since the judgment went forward.
Let's do it.
And everybody's talking about how terrible her contract is. Although I did ask, what is a good contract in the record industry supposed to look like? Cause I don't know.
Correct.
Like, everybody can be like really, judgmental on a high horse about this shit, but I don't know, man. I don't know the right answers to any of this shit. And everybody, well, just get a lawyer to look at it or something. Hey, man, where's the lawyer coming from?
Lawyers cost money.
And where is it coming? Where are they coming from?
Right, where are they coming from? Because, yeah, you can get a lawyer, but if the lawyer ain't looking out for your best interest, you still going to be screwed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I heard, like, so she get, it's a 60-40 deal. 1501 gets 60% of her recording income. The remaining 40% goes to her, but then she has to use that to pay, you know, how they do all the contracts, engineers, mixers, artists on the work.
Good
stuff,
God.
Like that. So it is bad.
Yeah, it is, because what the fuck you gonna have left?
Okay, so then, Karen, what is it supposed to be, is my question.
Oh, I don't know.
Right, and that's what I find interesting. Everyone's like, oh my God, that's terrible. I'm like, what's the industry average? Like, what
that
is it supposed
I don't know,
to be?
But somebody knows that statistic.
Yeah, I have no fucking idea. That's why I'm not trying to jump into the hyperbole machine to talk about how terrible it is, because I really don't know. I'd like to know, you know. Maybe somebody out there knows what it's supposed to be, but, you know, I don't know. Legitimately would like to know the answer, because I haven't, like, not even in the article did they be like, and on average, you know, an artist would get this. You know, and it sounds like, especially at hip hop, they try to keep them contracts secret or something.
Right, right.
You know, and it seemed like the way a lot of artists have to make money is to sign other artists to bad contracts. You know, so I don't know what the fuck is a good contract in hip hop, for somebody that was in her situation. I'd like to know. And who got those contracts in comparison to her, you know? So I haven't seen any research on that at all.
Mm-mm.
But obviously it doesn't leave her with a lot of money.
Mm-mm. That's how I was like, ooh.
Right.
But that shit can add up, all those costs.
According to the lawsuit, the contract calls for all the money from her touring and live performances to be paid directly to 1501 Certified. She said the label's supposed to give her a proper accounting of what she's owed, but claims that they provided is incomplete, purposefully deceptive, and vague. Yeah, the other thing too, like I said, people try to blame Jay-Z, but it sounds like whatever deal she signed with Jay-Z is probably what exposed this.
Yeah, somebody got a hold and read that. It was like, ooh, girl, no, you need to go and talk to them.
Yeah, it sounded like somebody said, is this your contract? Because this ain't right. Megan also claims Crawford has been using his relationship with Rap-A-Lot Records founder Jay Prince to intimidate people in the industry. In the suit, she claims Crawford pressured the producer to hand over beats by saying Prince would be pissed. Megan claims Prince is notorious in the industry for strong-arm intimidation tactics, and the comment was taken as a physical threat of harm. Man, they tried. So she had to go full snitch to get this money back. Don't blame you though.
Must be a lot of money at stake.
Megan thinks Prince has had a hand in an online smear campaign against her, including a recent story about her getting arrested 5 years ago. Oh, with this mugshot from 2015. All of these headaches simply aren't worth it to Megan, who says in exchange for signing the contract, she got a measly $10,000 advance, hence her desire to renegotiate. She's suing Carl and 1501 Certified Entertainment for at least $1 million in damages. Megan is not suing Jay Prince. I mean, can't blame her. The restraining order she got also prevents the label from attacking or abusing her on social media. Megan's attorney, Richard Bush, tells TMZ, "We are very happy the court granted our restraining order and thrilled about the world that the world should be able to now hear Megan's new music on March 6th. So, all right. But it's funny though, because somebody brought up, like, you know, everybody's like, look how dumb she is, she ain't got no money, no training, blah blah blah, and that's why she got her deal like this. These young artists need to think, da da da.
We hear about,
and
this
then hold up please, I was coming to a point. And then someone brought up that Taylor Swift, with her parents being millionaires and shit, also got stuck in a deal that she had, got fucked out of her publishing and all that stuff for, and is still upset about. So maybe it's, you know, maybe it's not as much, such an open and shut case of just what a dumbass as is the industry. It's just a fucked up industry.
Right. And so we hear about them all the time. A lot of them, what's that VH1 show where they go back and they talk about your favorite R&B singers and what happened, where are they now and shit like that. We hear about them fucked up contracts all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's just interesting because I think people think, well, since you heard about it, then it's not going to happen to you. It's like, I don't think that's how it works. Shit, this is a reason these fucking grifts and things continue forever, is because it's always a new person and they get you to trust them and shit, and then, you know, turns out they full of shit. All right, let's see, I'm getting into something else here, guys. I guess we can do all right, yeah, cool, let's do some fucking with black people, everybody.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe and finds different articles make us feel fucked with as black people. And we assign point scores of 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's see who's fucking with us. Orlando Jones welcomes all the smoke from Isaiah Washington after the MAGA minion ridicules firing. So if people don't know, Orlando Jones has been fired from my show American Gods. I know I talked about it in the pregame, can't remember if it came up on the regular show, but he got let go playing one of my favorite characters, one of my favorite actors. It just sucks. And he has been outspoken about how the new white showrunner came in and basically said America don't need to be seeing the angry black man portrayal of a Nazi that Orlando Jones does on the show. And apparently season two was such a shit show, Orlando Jones wrote and performed most of his own monologues and stuff like that because they didn't have enough direction for where the character was going and all that stuff. So he kind of bailed them out in season two, and the thanks he got was a boot out the door. And so he's been pretty outspoken about it, like on social media, like, man, fuck these people. And a couple things happened. One, the main guy who plays a Shadow on the show, who's like a biracial guy from like England, he like direct messaged Orlando Jones the other day, and Orlando Jones screenshot that shit and put it out for everybody to see. Like, the dude was basically on some like, man, you fucking up the money for us and we support you, we just want you to like chill out, basically you fucking up the show for those of us that's left here. And Orlando Jones basically like, man, you don't even fuck with me, you didn't talk to me when I left, you didn't say shit during this whole ordeal where they, you know how they did me, and now you want to come in and basically tell me to, can I be quiet so you can keep getting the bag, like, leave me alone, like, we're not friends, we're not cool. So I guess all that online drama drew the number one troll, Isaiah Washington.
He came out the closet.
Came from under the bridge. MAGA representative Isaiah Washington tried to stick his nose into a conversation that had nothing to do with him, and actor Orlando Jones was fully prepared to check him. Jones continues to give his perspective on his firing from the Star series American Gods in September of last year. It has been an incident of contention for the actor, who says racism played a part in him being let go. By the third season of the show, Jones was informed that his services are no longer needed, supposedly because the series is going to be exploring storylines that didn't involve his trickster god character, Mr. Nancy. However, Jones called this horseshit, saying the decision to remove him as an actor and producer and writer on the show was more race related, and Jones blamed stars in the British production company Fremantle on SiriusXM's The Clay Kane Show. The actor talked about the on-set cultures, calling the showrunner a wigger and a culture vulture who speaks with a quote unquote black scent.
Not a wigger.
He continued, culture vulture white guys running around with a Black Panther t-shirt on, talking like you black, acting like you black, thinking you blacker than black people. You're playing the whole game. This is the only reason you would run your ass around and say something as crazy as Mr. Nancy's bad for black America. And clearly there's nobody around to correct you. There's nobody of color around who feels that they had a guts to say, hey sir, you probably shouldn't say that. You write from a black male perspective. You're like a 60 plus year old white man. Jones also questioned the way he was let go, saying the task was handed to a wigger who wanted to replace the angry black god guy with a Marilyn Manson-esque god. Jones continued his frustrations on Twitter this week, posting the now deleted messages that are allegedly between him and American Gods lead actor Ricky Whittle, whom Jones sees as someone who's unwilling to support him. Whittle seemed to respond to Jones in his messages from December, saying Jones was using the racism card to burn your friend's house down. In Whittle's messages, he blamed incompetence, not racism, on Jones' firing. Isaiah Washington felt the need to chime in after, of course he felt the need, after Jones posted his now deleted tweets. Welcome to my world, my nigga. Your ass is black after all.
What?
Where is Yvette?
Sorry, Brown? Siri. I didn't mean to make you jump out. It's my bad.
Where's Yvette Nicole Brown to shut this nigga down? Washington was let go from Grey's Anatomy after using a homophobic slur on the set. So I don't know what the welcome to my world means. Jones wasn't having it though. He tweeted back at Washington questioning his blackness and demanding that he apologize to actress Yvette Nicole Brown. Washington got in a heated tweet of beef back in November 2019 with Brown, which we covered on the show. Y'all remember that? Apologize to @YNB. Your world seems more toxic than black. He tweeted Jones to Washington. He also added a video of TikTok influencer Carter is a PHAG. Oh, okay. That says transformation video on how to purposely do blackface because you don't know how to do it. You don't do it. Oh my God, it's that simple, huh? Support black people. This is when things escalated. And so, what is this video now? Hold on. I have not seen this TikTok video. I'm so old. I'm not up on the TikTok.
I don't know nothing about the tickety talk.
I need to take it to the full black ignorance and call it the wrong name. But yeah, it's okay. So this is Carter in this video. I'm trying
transformation to video on how to properly do blackface because y'all don't know how to do it. You don't do it. Oh my god. Is it that simple? Support black people.
That's hilarious.
That is good. That is real good. This is when things escalated. Washington tweeted back, I know you didn't just call my world toxic when your fake black ass just got fired for trying to pretend you are black. Get the fuck out of here, nigga. You don't know. You don't. N-I-C-C-A. You don't want this smoke. You ain't built like me, ninja. Shit, stick to writing, champ.
He ain't got nothing but time on his hands.
Well, you don't have no job, right? It's just like, I can be on the internet arguing all day. I love how he said,
there's nothing else to do, Sal.
Nika and ninja. He don't even say the N-word. That's the worst type of black person, guys. I'm sorry. If you one of these black people, you're one of my pet peeves. The people that don't say nigga, but they do the words that substitute
around,
for nigga.
Yeah,
so now I gotta say nigga in my head, like it don't count. Yeah,
if you're
it
not,
count!
Yeah, if you're not gonna say it, a lot of times they just stay away from it. I'm cool with you, but the people that's like, oh, I'm not gonna say it, but I'm gonna hint around it, mm-mm.
It count. Ninja is nigga to me, and I'm gonna read it and say it as such.
And nigga is nigga.
Nigga. In your face, I'm gonna say it. This is when Jones sarcastically responded with a gif saying, oh, that sounds scary as hell, to which Washington responded, yeah, you know who I am. Just say thanks that you have been hired for just looking like me, but without the backbone. Eventually, Jones clapped back, tweeting, your comedy work on Twitter is amazeballs, but your homophobia is legendary. You would have been an awesome Mr. Nancy, super duper angry.
Super duper.
It didn't stop there. Washington responded with misspelled words. There your slave ass go.
Words.
There as in they are, not the right there.
Oh, not there, not like
T-H-E-R-E. No. Aww. They are your slave ass go. Trying to pin that homophobic ish on me, champ. It ain't gonna fly, you bitch ass ninja. You a soft ass ninja and have been for years. Who you signing autographs for now in airports? Arsenio Hall or that Everybody Hates Chris dude? Either way, you lose. You know what, yo? You know what? That's a bar. I hate to give him his due, but that who you signing autographs for, Arsenio Hall or that Everybody Hates Chris dude? That's bars. And then also, like, my man that play Everybody Hates Chris just caught a stray for no reason.
He minding his business.
He like, man, I'm just over here living life. What is, why?
I guess everybody do hate him.
Washington also wrote, YB, bitch ass, fake ass, spider ninja, when I have iconic roles like Dr. Burke and Chancellor Jaha. Still killing it.
I don't know who neither one of those people is.
Kessel Jaha is in my show, The 100. That's the only reason I know it. I don't know who Dr. Burke is. Is that from Grey's Anatomy?
I don't know.
It said doctor. Roles that inspire and not make mofos cringe behind your back. FOH. Fuck out of here. It must be super hard on your mental state to have to use gifts of a character you just lost on at Stars and now crying racism. You look stupid. Oh, by the way, I premiering on at Stars this summer, so there goes your racism claim, champ. You suck as an actor. Just accept it and write. Washington also went on that at Orlando Jones says that my world is toxic because I support MAGA and 45. Yet he claims that racism is why American Gods and American Gods Room fired him off of his former show. He posted private DMs of at Mr. Ricky Whittle trying to reason with him, and now he won't smoke from me. And then he put the, are you not entertained, gif.
He didn't ask you to come over there.
Now, I won't lie, this last one wasn't good. That one was a stretch, because he did that thing was like, oh, and now he want to say this, but it's like the first thing had nothing to do with the second thing. Orlando Jones says, then he said, this will be my final tweet to you, because I'm actually punching down now. The hashtag load of shit is heading your way for years to come. Hashtag MAGA hater. Enjoy the painful journey, champ. Laughing emoji. And Orlando Jones says, oh, now that you released that gigantic load of shit, do you feel better, boo? Huh? Do you? Hashtag crybaby. And he said, please don't go Kanye, Clarence, Ben Carson, Thomas West, Washington. The hashtag load of shit punch down is so sexy. Hashtag your sheet is showing. And that's the end. I will say this, man. Neither one of these niggas brought it harder than Yvette Nicole Brown. Mm-mm. You know, I like Orlando Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Yvette read this nigga for filth, and it was so good. It seemed like Orlando really got things on his mind and things to do, so he was like, nah, I actually don't have time for this. Mm-mm. I didn't realize this nigga's gonna be tweeting 17 different tweets, so I'm good.
Mm-hmm. I have other things to do.
Like, he probably came back to this at night like, damn, why my Mitch is still...
Oh, wow. You still talking?
This nigga really mad. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
I'm not zero.
I don't feel too fucked with either. Let's see. School scraps racist hair rules as they're influenced by white supremacy. A head teacher is giving pupils free rein to dye their hair a riot of colors after abandoning racist appearance rules. Desmond Dehan might look like your typical headmaster, but he has introduced radical changes to both the curriculum and uniform policies at Townley Grammar School in Bexley Heath, Southeast London. Speaking from his office, Mr. Dehan, 52, said more than half of his bright and hardworking students are from black African families, and that they were being singled out because their Afro-textured hair did not follow Eurocentric expectations around appearance. He said his team talked with students and it became clear low-level sanctions around hair mattered a lot to them. He told Metro, by listening and talking to students, we realized that it's racist behavior. This should be a protected characteristic for black African heritage pupils in the same way language and color of your skin is. They have no choice around their hair. It is part of their genetic makeup that their hair grows a particular way and requires certain management around it. To ignore that is a result of an institutionally racist perspective. After reading a book called Don't Touch My Hair by Emma DeBerry, an academic who was calling for black children's hair to be protected in law, Mr. Dehan relaxed all appearance rules at the school. He said, people like Emma have been affected by this for such a long time and not really been heard. And that in itself says a lot about what is wrong. This hasn't been noticed. It has been brushed under the carpet or dismissed. Hopefully we are a society now where we can face up to this. Colonialism and white supremacy has affected the way we think about things. We need to be more confident to put a mirror up to our own actions and change them. Mr. Dehan says pupils are now a lot more confident about themselves and their self-esteem. He said it has reduced conflicts they may have had with staff about their hair. That has made relationships just so much better within the school. They have started to think a lot more about their identity and their hair and the importance of it. He rejected the idea that the new hairstyles would distract pupils from their studies, adding, no, once you stop challenging students about something that is wholly irrelevant to them, you start spending time on things that are relevant and important. Brightly colored hair, cornrows, natural hairstyles are not a distraction to students any more than anything else in life.
Come on.
But it's not just the appearance rules that have changed the school. The entire curriculum has been decolonialized with sweeping changes made to English literature, history, and sciences. An inspector calls by J.B. Priestley has been replaced with Pidgin English by Stephen Kelman. While A-level students are getting to grips with The Color Purple by Alice Walker rather than Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. The science department has been tasked with showing how European theories were influenced by wider world context. How they stole it. History students learn about immigration to Britain and the Black Lives Matter campaign and less about English kings and queens. The school has introduced a unit on slavery with a focus on British black history.
Come on.
boy, what has Megan done to these people? Mr. Dehan said most students in the UK schools learn an awful lot about Black civil rights movement in the US and nothing about the Black civil rights movement in the UK.
And it matters because they live there.
There's a real gap in the, yeah, and it's also the thing we do here where we don't have mind explaining how some other country was wrong with their racism.
Right.
But when it comes to our shit, we be like, no, 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 it worked out. It was real easy. You know, Black people was like, give us rights. It was like, oh, my bad, dog. Anyway, my next chapter. Let me tell you who got it bad. The way the Germans did these Jews, I killed a lot of them. It's like, yeah, we agree. So what about slavery, though? Didn't y'all kill a lot of Black people? Yes, but that's all water under the bridge. Moving on.
Yeah, racism happens over there, too.
What we teach, he says, there's a fundamental need to look at the curriculum that we teach. What we teach and what is in our curriculum is a much a product of empire, the empire and colonialism, as our rules behind behavior and uniform are. Mr. Dehan added, it's only a matter of time before schools recognize they are influenced by a history of white supremacy. Oh, come over here and sit down, Principal Dehan. Let me get you a plate.
Yes.
Okay.
My baby's whole attitude done changed.
Mm-hmm. I know you seen her come in with them Afro puffs. What you think about them, them puffs over there, Principal?
Yeah, my baby loving themselves.
I'm going to see you at the PTA meeting, okay?
My baby teaching me about shit I didn't know about over here.
You like you want some sweet potato pie. You like you want a sweet potato pie than a pumpkin pie, man. You know, just let me know.
Would you like some hot tea?
You know what I'm saying? You single? I got like an aunt over here. You know what I'm saying? You just let me know. What's up, Dion, okay? Because I don't know how you learn to appreciate all this Black hair over here, but I mean, however you came to that conclusion, you know what I'm saying? Shout out. He definitely coming. Okay.
With no problems.
He got in through the inside. 0 to 100.
Oh. Zero.
Yeah, I gotta give it a zero myself, dog.
And ain't it amazing how he was like, we changed the rule and all of a sudden, fucking conflict went down. All of a sudden, shit that we need to be focusing our attention on, we could actually do it.
Yeah, I like how he didn't mince words or try to like mitigate it on some like, yeah, so, you know, these Black people, they going through some things and I mean, you know, they saying it's racist. He's like, it's white supremacy. It's colonialism. It's like, he just was like, it is what it is. I read the book.
We're going to change the curriculum. We're going to educate the people.
It's not two ways about it. The shit is fucked up and the children are paying for it. So, we just moving on, okay? Everybody understand? The rules has changed. The end. Let's go to the next one, guys. I'm gonna have to play a YouTube video for this one. And just as a warning, trigger warning to everyone listening, it is racist. So, yeah.
My name is Beatrice Dixon. I'm the founder of the Honey Pot. In the beginning, it wasn't easy to like start this company. And there was a lot of times that it almost didn't happen. If Target didn't take the chance on us, we wouldn't be in all the retailers that we're in today. What's really dope is they helped us with the product line, the packaging. They really like changed my life. The reason why it's so important for Honey Pot to do well is so the next Black girl that comes up with a great idea, she have a better opportunity. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to that you guys had to experience that blatant racism.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. You know, I'm not surprised that Karen would think it's sweet, but
that is sweet.
I hate to inform you, Karen, what you just listened to, what you just watched,
mm-hmm.
was very racist against white people.
It wasn't for them.
Specifically white women.
It wasn't for you.
Very, probably just enough that, I mean, I can't even explain it all in this segment, Karen. We're going to have to take a break and come right back.
We have to go to the next section.
It's a lot. We'll be right back in the live chat. So in real time, we just had to take a break, guys. It's so much racism. I actually had to leave the room for a second and pause because that's a lot. As
mm-hmm.
you guys can imagine.
Mm-mm.
So there was a lot of outrage over this 30-second commercial, Karen.
That's all it was, a smooth 30 seconds.
It was during Black History Month.
This was my first time seeing it.
Right. So I know you're in shock right now. That's why you don't, you didn't pick up on the racism right away.
I'm good.
Totally understand. It's very, it's very outrageous, but subliminal.
I completely understand, and I don't even, still don't even know what the product is, but I support her.
At the end of the commercial, she says, well, it's a popular feminine care company. So I think it, takes, it's like, for people with vaginas to help take care of them, you know, like
keep your pH balance under control and stuff like that.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. The reason why it's so important for Honeypot to do well is so that the next Black girl that comes up with a great idea, she can have a better opportunity. That means a lot to me, she said in the ad, sending people into rage, you know. So people got upset, Karen, as you can imagine. I mean, it's pretty upsetting to me as a, just a person that thinks that all lives matter.
Did you mean white people? White women specifically got upset?
Now, how did you know it was white women?
Because men don't give a fuck about no honeypot.
Oh, I know what you mean. Oh, yes. It was white women. I know how you could tell, because it specifically was white women, and they found it disgusting. I see what you're saying. Specifically about limiting the imaginations of little white girls, because Karen, white girls do not get to dream in America. That is the point. Look, I always say, on the list of people that got it hard in America, obviously number one, rich men, we already went over that last week. But number two, number two, little white girls.
I don't like your list.
Little white girls, such a film. I'm like, wow, it's like, you ever see a white girl just like on TV, or like you see Scarlett Johansson in a movie trailer, you be like, thank God she got a chance to just finally to make do her thing. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, how often do you see that? I can't think of many examples. But yeah, so apparently that last line pissed a lot of people off. Let's see. Nevertheless, detractors found a reason to try and sabotage Dixon's company online, taking a consumer review website, Trustpilot, to give bad reviews. Some of the people partaking in the misguided trashing included men who the product isn't even for. Yeah, I saw that.
The fuck y'all doing over here? You ain't got a vagina.
There were quite a few. I even saw one where the person put like hashtag Bernie Sanders at the end. I know. Denoting products as being about / for one particular race is just wrong. I will not purchase any of these products. This should be all for all women. What are you telling young girls of any other race? Wish it was include. I'm sorry. I'm not reading these right. I'm sorry. That's my bad. I got it, guys. me. Donating products as being about or for one particular race is just wrong. I will not purchase any of these products. This should be for all women. We're telling young girls of any other race. Another person says, I wish it was inclusive for all the children, but thanks to your poor choice of words, I'll be spending my money elsewhere. Target, this is not okay. Brands should be picking everyone up, not just one race. If you're not looking to be all inclusive, what's the point of your brand? And another person says, I received a bottle of one of the Honey Pot cleansers in my bump box subscription my husband bought for me during my pregnancy. I thought the product was just all right. Then I saw the commercial where the founder of the company stated that it's to empower Black women, not all women, only Black women. It made me feel that the company is not only racist, but small-minded and not worth purchasing. I will tell all my friends, anyone who asks, that the products are not worth purchasing. Very disappointed in the company and the founder. Then there were people that responded back, that had her back too. All those one-star reviews can stay mad that this product isn't for them. It's probably not for me either, but it deserves to be rated fairly by the beautiful and powerful Black women it was made for. That must have been that principal from the last story.
Right? He came off the top rope.
I love Honey Pot. I also love Target's commercial highlighting the diversity of its products and business owner. They made a bold statement in support of Black History Month. And also, thank you, Honey Pot, for your awesome pads with essential oil. So soothing and comforting. The negative comments only prove the point that no one wants black women to succeed. As if saying I hope this inspires other black girls excludes white women who literally have to do nothing and are rewarded for it. The jealousy jumped out quick. Yeah, one of them said something like, I can't remember what the title was of it. I saw someone put the picture on my Facebook, but it was like, it said something like, stay mad, hoes. I think that was the title of the, it was like, stay mad, hoes. And then it gave a real review, but that was the title. But anyway, Dixon stands by what she said in the ad. She even went on to say this: my competitors have raised $85 million. I can't think of a consortium of black women that has raised $85 million. When you look at the real shit of it, that shit is real, she told the Beauty Independent recently. I have to do well so the next black girl that goes into a room of venture capitalists with a CPG business has a chance. When you pitch to a company, you say, I'm building this company after the Honest Co model of the Shea or the Shea Moisture model. You have to show something that aligns with you. They already don't understand you. Being a woman is hard enough, but being a black woman, a lot of people have reacted to what I said in the commercial, but the facts are the facts, man. You can't look at that statistic and not infer that Honey Pot has to be successful. So the other part of it though is she came in to leave an update, and apparently they have doubled their sales since the quote-unquote boycott started.
Mm-hmm. People going, I don't even know if I'm gonna use this shit, I'm just gonna buy it just because.
She wasn't even trying to start no outrage, and yet somehow she profited off of it. I love it when a plan comes together. I love when somebody's hate just blows up in their face. It's honestly the best thing y'all could have done is be mad.
Right, because people's like, the fuck you mad about? Oh, you mad because she black and she said something about black people? Fuck it. And you know black women will support. They don't give a fuck about, I don't know nothing about no science, bitch, but here's some money.
I mean, it's the best.
I don't know nothing about what you're doing, but here's some money.
It's the best advertising you can have is people being mad, man. It's why, you know, sometimes I pick and choose my spots. I'm human. I mess up sometimes. Everybody does. I'm not a robot, you know, but it's one of the reasons that I told people and I mean it on the show and I mean it in my real life. I'm trying to let my anger stop being used by people.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it puts you in a position where you're really gullible, and sometimes you're helping the people cause all they want is you to be mad. So every time you get outraged about a Breakfast Club video and you share it 57 times and you have 37 comments in your Facebook page, it's viral marketing for them. They're never gonna go off the air. No one's gonna get in trouble. They're not gonna learn a lesson. You just help them. While you were bitching about it, planning on your podcast and all that stuff, talking, you know, to make yourself feel better, you were also kind of helping them. So you have to pick and choose your spots on when you want to do that. I'm not saying it's reasonable to never do that. Obviously it's not reasonable. You know, something piss you off, you do want, come smell this. That's human. But in this particular case, it was a bunch of racist people that helped the ad go even more viral than it was.
Yeah, because a lot of people probably had never heard of her product before then.
Yep. And then the last thing you had to do is give us a reason to defend some shit. This is another reason I don't really go that hard on a lot of black people, celebrities and shit, the way some people do, because I'm like, they won fucking thing from me being like, yeah, fuck whatever y'all talking about. I'm back on their side. Cause that's all it take. I'm not gonna pretend to be above it. There's people where I'm like, man, this motherfucker's always saying something crazy. I don't know if I really fuck with them, but let the right racist white person or group of white people come at them, and I'm gonna be like, man, what you not gonna do? You know? And I'm just being human about that. And right. I don't think I'm alone in that. I think there's a lot of people that want to act like they're moral machines and computers that just doot 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 every fucking time. But the truth of the matter is, we all emotional creatures, and it's why the kind of get out of jail free card with me is when people just be like, oh, I just don't like this person or whatever. I'll be like, oh, okay, cool, my bad.
Yeah, keep it real.
Cause I get that. You know, oh, I'm a fan of such and such. Oh, okay, well shit, I get it. Yeah. Sometimes it's that simple. People don't like to admit it. Everybody want to act like they're above that feeling, but nobody is. And sometimes that's what happens with this kind of shit. Nobody was thinking about this shit. People probably was just like, I never even seen this commercial before.
I hadn't.
And then you do some racist shit. Now it's like, I would like 12 honey pots, please. Mm-hmm. It's probably black women down at Target right now, just a cart full of honey pot.
Right, buying the shit the fuck
giving,
up.
Giving it away.
Yes, giving it away! Y'all know how we do. A black woman did this. She did! Yes, mm-hmm. Use it.
A honey pot with every haircut. Like just, people get honey pots every, just.
I know Target was like, well, goddamn, it's all flying off the shelves.
Right. Come on, man. Alright, 0 to 100, Karen?
No. 75.
Okay. I give it a 75 because it worked out and she got the sales. Matter of fact, I give it a 50 actually. They racism didn't work. Like, mm-hmm. Obviously still fucked with by the fact that they saw that little thing, and white people of privilege, you don't know what the fuck the racism is. Mm-mm. You don't know. White people don't know. They don't know what the fuck they talking about. Like, I legit tune white people out. I don't talk to white people about racism. Not unless I'm just telling them this is what it is. It wasn't a discussion. This is how I see this thing. That's the end of it. I'm not even about to participate in this back and forth with your ass. Like, you don't know. You don't pick up no books. You don't hang around and know no black people. You get your information from fucking like Fox News or filtered through some other white person. No, I'm not wasting my fucking limited black life minutes on you.
Come on.
These are not anytime minutes. I don't have unlimited of these. I got to save them for people that matter.
For people that matter. I want to talk to white people that matter.
You know, I think low key, that's why I ain't really been mad about the Bloomberg shit.
Mm-mm.
I haven't hung out with a person that would fuck with Bloomberg in 15 years. I can't even imagine the person that would fuck with them that would be around me. So I haven't felt the need to be angry because I'm just like, who the fuck voting for him? What? You know what I'm saying? So like for me, I've been good, but you know, you can kind of tell, and I'm not trying to hate on people. I mean, look, you got your friends. Keep your friends. I'm not trying to tell you not to be friends with them, but I can tell on social media the people that still fuck with white people like that, because they be the main ones going off about Bloomberg, and I'll be like, oh, you hang out with a lot of white people because you done found the Bloomberg whites. You kicking in with them too tough, man. Don't fuck with them. Just know it's no, if something that simple can fool them, trust me, they not on your level.
Nope.
Anyway, good luck to all the people involved in that. Alright, let's get up out of here.
Now that it's time for some guest-a-race. That's right, it's guest-a-race time. Now that it's time for some guest-a-race. That's right, it's guest-a-race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is a stone cold racist. All right. We avoided a tragedy. California police arrest a UPS worker accused of threatening to carry out a mass shooting.
Well, goddamn.
Yeah.
What can Brown do for you? Apparently shoot the place up.
I guess he was gonna go postal.
That's a good one.
It's about time we had a good old fashioned regular post office attempted shooter, isn't it? We've really gotten out there lately. It's been a lot of like festivals and clubs and like, remember when that was just a thing that happened at the post office?
Yeah, that's what we went postal came from.
Post office hires veterans. America don't care or take care of our veterans. Somebody got some PTSD type thing, a lot of pressure in that job. Mm-hmm. People don't treat you right. And then you kill some people at your job, and we go, man, they went postal. Ha ha ha, you don't want to work at the post office. That was a joke. Now everywhere you get shot.
Everywhere.
By everyone. Everyone.
Right, everybody
shooting.
Got a gun. You got a gun. You got a gun.
Anyway, he was threatening a mass shooting. He was arrested Sunday. Police found more than 20,000 rounds of ammunition.
Good God, who is you killing? What army is coming at your house?
And several weapons, including tactical style rifles, in his home. Thomas Andrews, 32, sent threatening messages to his employer, the Sunnyvale Department of Public Safety, and in a statement posted on Facebook. The text messages said Andrews was planning a mass shooting at the UPS in Sunnyvale. He alluded to a mass shooting in his text messages. I definitely think we avoided a tragedy, said Captain Dan Pister. Police launched an investigation and learned Andrews was the registered owner of 4 handguns and a rifle. Patrol officers found Andrews and attempted to pull him over late Sunday, but he led officers on a car chase. He was eventually captured with the help of California Highway Patrol. After Andrews was apprehended, police searched his home and found more than 20,000 rounds of handgun and rifle ammunition. What situation does one need 20,000 rounds of handgun and rifle ammunition, and why is that even allowed?
The bears, you got to take the bears and the deers out.
What else would one person need that much ammunition for?
Apparently they're very aggressive.
Other than shooting up a mass shoot, other than a mass shooting, like, is that should come in the mass shooting kit, like off of Amazon.
Right.
20,000 rounds of ammunition, 4 guns, 5 assault rifle. Like, what the fuck? Here's a vest. I'm surprised it's not on.
Here's a one in shoes and a partridge in a pear tree, just in case you need it.
That's what really it's gonna take. It's gonna be like a gun store that just sell a mass shooting kit.
A whole ass kit, a starter kit.
Well, hey, you want the helmet? And that's only $100. You don't want one of those cops to get a lucky shot off at you before you can kill them kids. All right, here you go.
Here's some blood-free gloves.
Here's a vest. You know, in case they're going to be shooting at you, you're going to need a tactical vest. And we got you a shotgun for the close range. Here's a map to a school and the blueprint.
Here's some blood-resistant goggles. You know, you got to keep them eyes clean.
Definitely want to memorize that layout to that school, okay? Because I'm telling you.
And get rough in there when the lights go out.
Nothing's more embarrassing than only killing a handful of kids. You know, it's just like, why even try? So, but yeah, he had numerous high capacity magazines, 5 tactical style rifles, a shotgun, 3 handguns, and body armor, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Yes, I said that.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, how did I miss that? Wow. I don't know how.
I'm no the one not listening.
Yeah, what the hell's going on with me? I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to step on your joke.
I remember that. I was like, oh, he must not have heard me.
I must not have. It's too busy reading. Wasn't paying enough attention. Tactical backpacks with ammunition were staged at the front door. And a partridge at a... No, just kidding. I'm the first one ever made that joke. A UPS spokesman told USA Today that the company was aware of the situation and cooperating with authorities, but had no further comment. What could they say? That nigga was crazy as hell.
Right?
Oh, he did it.
He did it.
We violating all the rights, okay? We don't need no trial. Andrews was arrested.
Everything short from putting it on Instagram Live.
Right. Andrews was arrested and...
Hey, yo, everybody out here, I'm about to go post it. I got my starter kit. Y'all see my bullets? Hey! Get ready to bang them up. Bang, bang, bitches!
It's your boy, Thomas Andrews, out here live in front of my place of employment.
Out here in Sunnydale.
I got 20,000 rounds, 4 guns. You know how we do, you know what I'm saying? We about to go up in the workplace, get the cap in, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm about to deliver these bullets, you know what I'm saying? Airmail, next day delivery to your ass. Ha ha, shout out to Mike, my manager.
Y'all be looking. Y'all gonna send me a news in about 15 minutes. Y'all know it's gonna be lit.
You know, they really do that. Some of them do.
Oh no!
Mm-hmm. Some of them live stream their killings and all kinds of shit.
Oh,
The dude that shot up that church in New Zealand did that.
Oh.
Yep. Andrews was arrested and booked in Santa Clara County Jail on charges of making criminal threats, evading police, driving under influence. There's several counts of weapon violation, according to the Sunnyvale Police, and a partridge. And all right, Karen, guess the race of Thomas Andrews.
He is as white as the teenagers in Sunnydale in that Archie show.
All right. Sunnydale.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the name of that little town? Oh, Sunnyvale.
Yes, it is Sunnyvale. Yeah. Which is the real town that just happened in Sunnyvale.
Oh, I was saying Sunnydale to make a joke because yeah, it sounds Sunnydale, so close.
Right. Sunnydale is the town from Buffy.
Oh, Buffy. Yeah. All these damn sunny towns with sunny shit don't be happening.
That flag on the
wall. Oh, it's Riverdale.
Yeah, you're thinking about Riverdale.
It was one of them happy ass sounding names.
Yeah, Sunnydale is when where the Hellmouth was, which
doesn't make the opposite of sunny.
It would explain a lot. He's the centerfold of the month, Guns and Ammo White, living on the compound in the mountains white. UPS stands for United Pistol Service White. It's not always sunny in Sunnyvale White. Riverdale is Archie, okay. White on white, on white man. He would never do such a thing white. His skin is the opposite of the employer logo white. it's one of them generic pasty towns white. The correct answer is Karen, you got it correct. He is a white man.
Yeah, he real white.
He definitely looked crazy too.
He looked nuts.
Like, it's one of those people that you can't convince nobody that you didn't know was crazy when they ask you. Mm-mm. Did you have any clues? I mean, look at him.
He look like he ain't brush his hair.
Yeah, like his eyes, like, not, they don't line up right.
He one of them people when you interview, everybody would go, yeah, I knew he was a little off.
He was a quiet man,
never said anything to anybody.
I know if a mass shooter worked with me, that's what I would say, because everybody would be like, why didn't they just say they knew? Because what if he get out on a technicality? Now this nigga know I'm the one talking about, yeah, he definitely did it. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I don't think so. Mm-mm. I can't believe it.
I didn't have no problems.
Always a nice, quiet guy who never
bothered me.
Let me know when he's found guilty. Just ask me again. But don't. I don't have nothing to say for now.
Ask me again when you shut the cell door.
Let's see. A man has been arrested for a cow manure battery.
Oh, shit. You hitting people with cow shit?
Oh, this sounds like some pure bullshit. A Florida man was arrested yesterday on a felony battery charge after allegedly dumping a bucket of cow maneuver over the head of a victim.
Oh,
what is going on with people getting these buckets of shit lately? It's like, there's a dude in Canada, a dude in California, and it's not the same dude. According to a complaint affidavit, Jose Ramirez Calias, 47, attacked the victim at a dairy farm in Crystal Springs, a community about 30 miles north of Tampa. The complaint does not indicate whether Ramirez Calias or the victim work at Spotto's Palm River Dairy. The investigators allege that Ramirez Calias scooped the cow manure into the bucket and dumped it over the victim's head. He reportedly admitted to police that he doused the victim with cow manure. A cop reportedly observing the cow manure on the victim's forehead and leg. Oh, it's still on there. Oh, I guess you can't get rid of the evidence. Ramirez Calias, who was listed as a transient in the complaint, was booked in the Pasco County Jail. His rap sheet includes convictions for battery, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and probation violations. He was arrested in mid-November for allegedly threatening a man with a rifle, but prosecutors declined to pursue that case. And that's how he ended up on the streets with a bucket of cow shit.
Mm-mm-mm. What's his name again?
His name is Jose Ramirez Calias.
Oh, Hispanic.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe. That Florida shit hits differently. Hispanic. Oh shit. That's a Hispanic Florida man. That doo-doo brown. Latino. Doo-doo brown. That was a jam.
That's my bop.
But you know what? The internet made people like whack shit.
Right.
Yeah, boy. Dope sound.
Doo doo brown brown. His brand new brother in town. Yes.
What's going on, doo doo?
Doo doo brown.
Esta es caca, Latina, Latinx, Latinx, Chipotle, Latino. It was a shit storm, Latinx. He planned to make tacos out of the cow. Shitty ass taco Latino. Okay, this sounds like a lot of people went the same way, and you all got it right. Two hype brothers and a dog. Oh man, what happened to them?
I don't know.
Nah, they only had that one song. It captured a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
That was also like, they used to play that at like the band would play that at the games and shit.
That's a classic.
That was a shit. Anyway, that's his picture.
That was a shit. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's him right there. He got a pretty clean cut for a dude that is a transient throwing shit on people. That's not exactly what I thought he looked like.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2-2. Are you 2-2?
Yes. Can you believe it?
You've been on the streak for like 2 or 3 days now.
Woohoo! We're going to try to keep it going.
Well, if you get this one right, that means you got all of them right this week, I believe.
Ooh.
I think. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that might be right. Because, you know, tomorrow is The Walking Dead. We're not doing Guess the Race.
Mm-mm.
So that means you would have really... Wow. Okay. You won away. You getting nervous?
Yes, now.
Police have charged a 38-year-old Lancaster County man with aggravated assault and other offenses after he allegedly called 911 more than 20 times.
What?
Claiming Hillary Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, and the Ku Klux Klan were threatening him.
Okay.
He bit a police officer, attempted to take the officer's gun, and threatened to kill the officer during an incident February 26th.
Well, damn.
James Hua Min Vo of Mountville is also charged with a felony count of disarming a law enforcement officer and misdemeanor counts of resisting arrest, terroristic threats, and false alarm to agency of public safety, according to West Hempfield Township Police. And a Partridge in the Cherry. Vo is accused of texting Lancaster Countywide Communications 9 times and calling the agency 8 times. He also was transferred to Lancaster 911 from Dauphin County 911 5 times. He allegedly wanted to talk to a good cop about civil rights and KKK issues. He also believed that the Clintons were threatening him. Police dispatch. I want to understand, but I don't understand how the Clintons and the KKKs is all the same to him. I guess two sides of the same coin, right? Police dispatch an officer to Vo's home to speak to him, but he was not there, complaint said. When Vo was not home, when police returned at 10 p.m., then the officer called him. He spoke to the officer, repeatedly making outlandish conspiracy claims, referring to the KKK and various actors and actresses. Shortly after that, police say the officer who spoke to Vo found him in the area of Highland Drive and Stone Battery Road. Vo was wrestling with another officer on the ground. Police say Vo was riding his bike along the road when the officer approached him. He immediately became confrontational and attacked an officer, punching him in the side of the head. He also bit the officer behind his ear, causing an open wound, and attempting to get an officer's gun, allegedly threatening to kill the officer.
Ooh.
Police used a taser device on Vo before taking him into custody. The officer allegedly bitten by Vo was taken to the hospital for treatment. He is in Lancaster County Prison in lieu of $75,000 bail. Karen? Guess the race of James Hua Min Vo.
Has the best pho in town, Asian.
All right, let's check the chat room. Economic anxiety, white. Crazy ass sister, fucking Joe Dirt, white. Member of the model minority, Asian. White presenting Asian because he didn't die. White, he attempted to disarm an officer and live. Psychotic episode for a progressive white. Little did he know he was talking to Ron Starworth, white. James is a black man. Got to schedule an ass whooping by a cop via text. They blamed him for corona. Asian. Crazy broke Asian. Crazy broke Asian. And Mighty Whitey. The correct answer is Karen. You did it. You went perfect Asian. And of course, many of you said white missed it. OK, hey, damn, you're getting out of control, guys. Let it go. Is it showing up yet? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I mean, it looked like he didn't, not too bad for fighting the police officer and still getting caught, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, he did that.
Man, that is wild. Yeah, somebody brought up the coronavirus and we didn't talk about it on the show yet, but people been doing hate crimes to Asian people and shit.
It's been absolutely nuts.
Racism is stupid, man.
We be going in there, they be happy to see us.
At the restaurants?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other day, we went to the Hornets game and our new season ticket person, he's an Asian dude,
mm-hmm.
and he came over and shook my hand. And I didn't think nothing of it, but now in hindsight, I realized that I'm very brave, I'm a very tolerant liberal, and I deserve to be patted on the back, okay, no, for the bare
don't.
Minimum.
No, you don't.
So, I'm woke. I don't know about the rest of you,
no, you don't.
People out here, trashing the Asian community, but, your boy is not, because I'm better than that, okay? When I shook his hand, I heard white people in the back go, oh, so brave, such a good black man. So you guys are welcome if you're Asian listening to this, okay? I did you the service, all right? But nah, that's crazy.
Ain't that nuts?
Like, how the fuck do you not know that just like some white person just came back from China on a vacation? Like, how do you, not to mention, like, at the time when it was starting and people was like, China, I just saw something today that said coronavirus already been in the U.S. for 6 weeks.
I didn't know it was in for 6 weeks.
Yeah, what the fuck are y'all talking, what are you talking about?
I didn't know it was already in for 6 weeks.
Just fucking wash your hands and don't touch your face. Okay? Let's just start with what we can control and leave the racism for another day.
Right.
God damn. People are ridiculous. Alright, sore ratchet this time, guys. Shively police have arrested a man after giving police false identification and threatening officers with a sword. Mm-mm-mm. Giving them false identification. Mm-mm-mm. I mean, he lives in a town called Shively. I mean, he probably be shivving people. Matthew Hall, 35, black, was arrested and charged with giving an officer false identify information, resisting arrest, wanton endangerment, and criminal mischief. According to arrest reports, police are located near a residence in Nova Way, attempting to locate the suspect on a warrant. Police saw two men enter the residence, and when they knocked on the door, Hall answered. Hall told police he went by the name George White. Maybe he thought if he was a white person, they'd leave him alone.
Apparently.
Sir, I am a white. George White. Nice to meet you. Get off my porch.
Duh.
Officers asked him to come out the door. The suspect then slammed the door and locked the door. Running into the attic. Goose it. The officers forced their way into the home. While in the attic, the suspect was holding onto a sword and was kicking through the ceiling, placing the officers in danger. Officers were able to apprehend him and put him under arrest. He's currently booked at Metro Corrections. So,
right?
Time moved on him so fast. All right, y'all, that's it for this episode. We'll be back tomorrow with our Walking Dead recap. We went a little long today, but you guys, you know what? You deserve it, okay? Coronavirus out there on everybody's ass.
Ain't it, though?
People stressed out. It's a lot going on. You can't touch your face. What if your eyes start itching? Your nose? What if you bite your fingernails like me, okay? This is a stressful time for us. I don't want to meet no people. Talk to nobody. Okay, don't touch me. I don't know where you've been. There's a lot of suspicions going on out here. So, yeah, I'm glad we could provide you a little bit of sanity in a crazy, crazy world.
And question all your family and friends, like Roger did me. Every time they do something, go, did you wash your hands? Did you wash your hands? Did you wash your hands?
I hope you guys enjoy Super Tuesday, because I think that means The Flash is on with Legends of Tomorrow. Oh, and people are voting. So, I don't know if the results are in yet. It's 7 o'clock our time.
Yeah, so I think our polls close at 7.
So I don't know what it's looking like out there.
The numbers gonna start rolling in pretty soon.
You know, hopefully y'all get the results y'all want, man. Cause God, man. Yeah.
And then I was looking online. They said in Tennessee they're fighting and they're suing to keep the polls open, you know, because they had their shit in Nashville, and it was like, hey, y'all gotta give people time to go to the polls.
Oh yeah, rest in peace to the 19 people that died in that tornado in Nashville.
It happened overnight. Right.
Yeah, totally forgot. I had an article saved on that, and I guess I must have lost it or something, but yeah, that's crazy. Man. Whew, you just never know, man. One day you here, one day you gone. All right, y'all. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.